Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're presented again in today's gospel with the reality of demons for the third week in a row. First, it was the chief demon himself, Satan, tempting the Lord Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. Then it was that demon that was tormenting the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. In today's gospel, it's a demon that has entered a man and is keeping his mouth shut so that he's mute until the Lord Jesus comes along and casts out the demon and restores the man's speech. The devil is like a strong man, holding his prisoners captive in his house. But Jesus is a stronger man, the only man strong enough to conquer the devil and to release the devil's captives. Those who are physically afflicted by demons are obviously under the devil's power, but you don't have to be demon-possessed in order to be the devil's captive. We hear in the gospel an urgent warning to all unbelievers who still remain in the strong man's kingdom and whose souls still remain under the influence of the devil, whether they're actually physically possessed by a demon or not. We hear great comfort here for believers who are safe from the devil as long as we take refuge with the stronger man. But at the same time, we hear a warning to believers that you should not take for granted the redemption that Christ has given you from the devil's kingdom, lest you sweep the Holy Spirit out of your hearts and allow the devil to return with a vengeance. So stay close to Christ and His Word. Only then will you be able to stand against the devil. Jesus shows his power over the devil right at the beginning of our gospel as he drives out that demon from the man who was mute. And Matthew's gospel also tells us that the man was kept blind by the demon as well. Jesus released that poor man from the torment he was suffering at the hands of the devil. As Matthew tells us, these miracles that Jesus was doing in Israel, and especially his power over the demons, was causing people to wonder, could this Jesus be the Son of David? Could he be the Christ? Well, of course, they were right. But the Pharisees' hearts were hard, and they couldn't allow the people to put their faith in Jesus. So they had to come up with a blasphemous accusation to taint him with, to brand him with. Don't believe this Jesus, they were telling the people. He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. It's like any of those famous labels that people brand people with today to keep them from being heard, to keep their opinions from being spoken. It's also much like the fact checkers of today who aren't really interested in the facts at all, but in maintaining the narrative of deception that the strong men of the world are trying desperately to keep in place. That tactic isn't new. As long as there has been a devil, he has been conspiring to suppress the truth so that he can keep people captive in his kingdom of darkness. Others tested Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven. It's like showing people a video of certain events that transpired, a video that clearly contradicts what the strong men of the world have been saying. And then after showing the video, you're accused by those same strong men, "Now show us some proof of what you're saying." As if the video didn't exist. As if the video hadn't been shown. So it was with many of Jesus' miracles. He would show people a sign from heaven in doing some astounding miracle, and then in the very next moment, those same people would turn around and demand to see a sign from heaven. That's how strong a grip the devil has on people's darkened minds. So for the sake of the believers and those who would believe, Jesus chose to answer the accusations that were made against him. First, he points out how foolish the accusation was that he was driving out demons by the demon's power, by the devil's power. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to ruin, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan has turned against himself, if the demons are fighting with one another, then Satan's kingdom will fall apart easily, and you have nothing to worry about from that devil. But his kingdom is not falling apart, and it won't fall apart by itself. It is strong, and the devil's demon allies are perfectly united in their hatred toward God and in their purpose to keep men trapped in the devil's kingdom, blind to the truth of the gospel and blind to the truth in general, mute in their ability to confess the true God or to speak a word of praise. Or if someone is plucked out of the devil's kingdom by the Holy Spirit through the word of Christ and holy baptism, then the demons make it their united goal to entice those who have entered God's kingdom to abandon God's word again. Secondly, Jesus answers those who were looking for a sign from heaven. He challenges them. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew tells us that Jesus cast out demons and the people marveled and said, "This has never been seen in Israel." The Jews had no power over the demons, for as much as they apparently tried to cast them out of people. But now Christ is here, able to do what no one else was able to do. Driving out demons by the finger of God, he says, or as Matthew records it, by the Spirit of God, meaning that they're the same thing. You want a sign from heaven that Jesus comes from God? Look at his power over the demons. Power that no doctor on earth has and that no one has ever had or ever will have, unless given that power by Jesus himself. And beware, because if only Jesus has the power to drive out demons, then all who turn away from him will surely be lost to the demons' control. We should not envision the devil as being stupid or weak. Far from it. Jesus describes him as a strong man, well-armed, who guards his palace, whose possessions are secure. No man on earth can stand up to the devil or defeat him or escape from his well-guarded palace or rescue those who are held prisoner there, which is all people when we're born into the world. This is Jesus' third argument against his accusers. What Jesus is doing on earth is not helping the devil to gain a kingdom. The devil already has a kingdom, and he doesn't need any help holding on to it. There is no one who can defeat him except for the Lord Jesus. He is the one and only person who is stronger than the devil. And he is able to help us against him. He came to earth to redeem sinful men from the devil's kingdom, to give his own life on the cross in the sinner's place, and so to tie up the devil so that he can no longer accuse or hold captive any who trust in Christ, the stronger man who came to destroy the devil's work. So again, those who trust in Christ are delivered out of the devil's kingdom and placed into the kingdom of Christ, while those who reject Christ remain trapped in the devil's house, whether they're actually possessed or not. Now, a warning from Jesus. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. To be with Christ is to trust in Him for help against our great enemies, sin, death, and the devil. To gather with Christ is to work with Him to gather people to Him, into His kingdom. Make no mistake, there is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. There is no half-hearted Christianity. There is either genuine faith and justification by faith and faith that works through love, or there is unbelief and condemnation. See how urgent it is to heed Christ's call to come to Him for rest and for mercy. Those who are not intentionally with Jesus are intentionally or unintentionally against Him, and therefore on the devil's side. Jesus then issues a final warning. He describes what only someone who can see into the spirit realm can know, what a demon does when it's cast out. It wanders around for a while, as Jesus pictures it, and then goes back to check on its former home, the heart of the person whom he previously inhabited. And if he finds it swept and put in order, he brings along seven other spirits more wicked than himself, so that the last state of that man is worse than the first. In other words, if the demon comes and finds that your heart has a vacancy sign hanging over it, that is, that it's without the Holy Spirit dwelling there, he will move back in. This isn't just a warning to those who have been possessed by a demon and then exorcised. It's also a warning to those who hear the gospel and who receive holy baptism, which first released them from the devil's power and brought them into God's kingdom and with it the Holy Spirit. But then they grow tired of hearing it. They return to sin like a dog returns to its vomit, and they walk away from the church and from the ministry of the word. In doing that, they expose themselves again to the power of the devil. They drive out the Holy Spirit himself from their hearts, and so the demons are able to take over again. See, God isn't playing around. The Christian faith is a matter of life and death, much more so than any earthly disease or natural disaster or national crisis. You're either trapped in darkness, held captive by the strong man, or you're set free by the stronger man, Christ Jesus, who died for your sins, who brings you to faith by his word and spirit and makes you a child of God and a child of the light, and who then keeps you safe in the true faith by his word, sacraments, and spirit, assuming you continue to use his word and sacraments and pay attention to his spirit. We see at the end of the gospel an example of what often happens, though, as people lose focus on Jesus' word and start to focus on the wrong things. A woman from the crowd makes a pious-sounding statement. Oh, Jesus, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. How foolish. Christ wasn't speaking to the crowd that day so that they could dwell on the blessedness of Jesus' mother. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it or guard it. Christ taught the people so that they themselves could hear his word and be blessed. In the same way, right now Christ is teaching you so that you may hear his word, believe it, and then go on to guard it and be blessed forever. It does you no good against the devil to dwell on the Virgin Mary, for as blessed as she was. What does you good against the devil is to believe that the strong Lord Jesus came to redeem you from the devil's kingdom by his holy precious blood, and to bring you into his kingdom through holy baptism, and to keep you in his kingdom through his word and sacraments. He wants for you to be blessed. As you hear his word and keep his word, you will be blessed. There is much darkness in the world, and your enemy, the devil, is prowling round like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is strong, and his influence is everywhere. But Jesus is stronger, and his blood has set you free from all the power of the devil, and by his word he will keep you safe and secure and free. So keep hearing his word, and keep guarding his word, and keep walking as children of the light, even as the world around you descends further and further into darkness. The darkness may make your life miserable for a time, but it can't actually harm you if you walk by the light of Christ. And one day soon, he will come again and dispel all the darkness and cast out the devil once and for all. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.